Men, I want your attention for a second. My name is Jonathan Daugherty. I'm the host of Pure Sex Radio, and I want to tell you about our Gateway to Freedom workshop. Guys, this is a 3-day intensive workshop, and it's specifically designed for men who are struggling with secret sexual sin, guys who are struggling with pornography. Maybe you've had an affair. Maybe you're just your fantasy life, what's going on inside your head is just out of control. Maybe it's affecting your job, your marriage. You're involved in lustful behaviors that are out of control. This workshop is designed to help you get your life back. It's designed to help you overcome those temptations, to be able to live a life of purity from this day forward. You can't afford to miss it, guys. If you will go to gatewaymen.com, you can learn all about this powerful 3-day workshop. The next workshop is coming up May 22nd through the 24th in South Texas. You can call us at 1-800-49-PURITY or go online to gatewaymen.com.
Today, radio listeners, it's time for
Pure Sex Radio.
This is the best in mobile talk radio. We exist to train men and educate women in overcoming lust, pornography, and sexual addiction. Your host is author and speaker Jonathan Daugherty, director of Be Broken Ministries. Today's broadcast, Healing Hidden Wounds with Lee Preston, focuses on helping individuals who struggle with unwanted same-sex attraction. Lee Preston is the founder of Shadow of His Wings Ministry. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Lee on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. It's great to have you here with us. We are going to be talking about a very interesting topic that I'm going to pass off to my co-host here in a second. My name is Jonathan Daugherty, and I'm here with my friend Lee Preston. Hey, Lee, how you doing?
I'm good, Jonathan. How are you?
Good. This is our Healing Hidden Wounds segment, and for those of you who might be new listeners, our Healing Hidden Wounds segment is a portion of the broadcast that we do about every 4 or 5 weeks. Where we have our counselor here, Lee Preston, who is the founder and director of Shadow of His Wings Ministry. And he has a real neat ministry that helps a lot of folks that have been struggling with homosexual attractions and also abuse and different sorts of things like that. And so we like to have him on the air to be our expert on the same-sex attraction arena. And so this week, you've got a very interesting topic that you want to bring to us. So why don't you tell our listeners what we're going to be talking about?
Sure, Jonathan. I like how you make me the expert today when we're going to bring up this very sensitive topic. And
Lee's phone number is... No, I was kidding.
Well, no, we're welcome to have all kinds of phone calls. This is an interesting topic today. It is not meant to be... offensive by any means, but it is a discussion on some buzzwords that have been kind of going on, kind of a buzz statement out there that's been going on the internet, basically saying, and the questions being asked, is gay the new black? And so you can understand where there could be some sensitivity to even that statement in and of itself. But kind of the reason why we're bringing it up today is just to look at the political culture of the gay community right now.
And so, yeah, maybe try to, because is gay the new black? I mean, I'm thinking if I'm just listening to that for the first time, okay, what exactly are you saying? I mean, what exactly is that meaning? Are you saying, okay, because you're talking about it, is homosexuality a new sort of almost like an ethnic category, ethnic minority category? Is that kind of what that statement's supposed to kind of mean?
Right. Basically, I think there's just some kind of discussion out there as whether being gay is the new protected class category of the civil rights issues. And what are we doing with that? And there's been some discussion about whether The gay community has had some of the same struggles as the black community in trying to reach equality. And so there's been some comparison as of late with regards to gay being the new black.
What is the... What would people in the gay community, or at least the people who might be leading this charge in the gay community, what would they be saying is the reason for them to compare themselves to blacks?
Well, just a discussion around it, and I by no means put out that I know everything about it. We're just discussing it today. But the most important issue, I think, is that as a gay person, if I were to say that since I'm born gay, then I must also, as anyone of color, black, Hispanic, etc., Asian, since I cannot change the color of my skin, then therefore I can't change my sexual orientation. So I should have the same protected class category under the civil rights movement to give me certain protections. And I think that's the issue because... Fortunately, at least for those of us who believe that God would never create someone gay, we still believe that it is something that can be healed, it is something that can be changed, and it's something that God can certainly provide major recovery in. And so there is not a lot of proof out there, as much as the media might tell you, that it's something that you're born with. And so to even begin comparing it to a skin color, which is something you're definitely born with, is a very difficult issue.
So there has to already on the premise, there has to be somewhat of a leap of logic.
Sure. The major
or a leap from logic.
Exactly. The major leap is that I must accept that if I'm accepting this premise, I must accept that gay people are born gay.
Because otherwise... it would be a very slippery slope to try to defend a preference as a protected class.
Exactly.
Because that would be no different than me saying, you know what, I'm an Irish American.
Exactly.
So I'm a minority.
Right.
And but you know, it's almost like, but even then, why couldn't I defend the fact that I was actually born an Irish American? And maybe I find that there are some, and I know this is a just way out of left field example here, but I actually was born an Irish American. And I always like to let my friends know as like a little, you know, a little party conversation as an icebreaker that, you know, we were actually the first ghetto dwellers in America. So, you know, I could make a ridiculous argument that says as an Irish American... shouldn't, because I was actually born that way, couldn't I also maybe get in an uproar about anything that I could view as detrimental to my health, to my way of living, because I believe that Irish Americans are being repressed or something?
Sure, sure. And I think what's important is even if you look at ethnicity in general, even if it is Irish, you can't change your heritage. That is your heritage. You were born in the based upon your ethnicity and your culture and the family of origin that you were born from. But homosexuality is still out there as being touted as at least, you know, yes, on one hand, people are born with it. On the other hand, which is what our belief is that the Bible says that it's a sin and God would never allow sinful behavior to be inbred in us. Yes, we're born with a sinful nature, but we would not ever be born gay. And so to try to say, well, if I'm born this way, I must have protected class category, is saying that it is something that I am inbred with.
And incapable of changing.
Of changing.
Yeah.
And we've always said on this radio show, Jonathan, that we want to acknowledge that in the gay community, that if somebody were, like, because I used to say the same thing, if someone were to come up to me and say, well, you should be able to change, then my first reaction was, look, if I would know how to change, then you better show me because I don't know how. I can't change the way I feel. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a difference in changing how we feel and changing the color of our skin, which is kind right. of what bothers me about this comparison.
And I think I want to make it very clear, and I think you did a good job of this earlier in the broadcast, of, you know, we are not, in this ministry, we are not out to agitate those who
right.
are struggling with homosexuality, or maybe even not struggling. There are a lot of folks out there that have embraced their homosexuality, and even though we believe that the Bible clearly states it's sin, doesn't mean that we're, you know, trying to agitate them or irritate them. It's just we want to be able to present truth on this radio broadcast, and also be able to have a forum where we can have open discussions about things that are even affecting our culture, affecting our climate of life, because of how things are happening politically that can certainly affect how we are able to live in our lives.
Sure, Jonathan, and that's very true, and that's why I mention, you know, even for those who might be listening who are still in the gay lifestyle or who struggle with same-sex attraction, I by no means want to make light to that of that word choice, because I remember not ever really feeling like I had a choice in how I felt. And so I understand that, but I do want to say there's a difference in choosing how you feel versus choosing the color of your skin, because that's part of the process of recovery. I may feel like I'm attracted to a certain thing in my life. It may be men, it may be women, it may be animals. I mean, we deal with all kinds of things in sexual addiction, but that doesn't make that a protected class category. I still may feel that way, but that doesn't say that it's the same as being born with my skin color a certain.
Exactly. And I think that's sometimes a very hard truth for those who are enmeshed in deep sexual addiction, whether it's heterosexual or homosexual, to understand.
Sure.
Because, you know, even my own background and my own sexual addiction, it was just ingrained in the way I felt. I felt like it was just ingrained in my being that sex was a need.
Right.
And it didn't matter the means, because I had so ingrained this type of thinking and this sort of belief system that said, you have to have sex. It doesn't matter if it's with your wife or with a prostitute or with who, you know, lady down the street.
Right.
You just have to have sex. And, well, anybody that's kind of in a reasonable place, a reasonable state of mind, you know, not thinking irrationally, would look at that and say, well, that doesn't make sense.
Right.
You won't die if you don't have sex. I mean, exactly. you stop drinking water and you stop eating. Yeah, those are needs.
Right.
But sex, you could go the rest of your life without sex and you wouldn't die.
Sure.
And so there's an irrationality that sometimes comes that's very powerful in our emotional being. But it just because an irrational thought or an irrational idea becomes very powerful in our emotions doesn't mean it is characteristic of our DNA.
Sure.
Or something that is incapable of change.
Right. And I think that's why we have to be very careful. And I speak this not only to men and women who struggle with homosexuality, but to general population, because it's something that we ultimately have to look at, is pronouncing my culture based upon the object of my sexual desire is a dangerous place to tread. And trying to now compare that to the color of skin and saying, well, you know, we've gone through some of the same injustices as you have. We've gone through some of the same pain that you've gone through in fighting for your rights. Then, therefore, we should also be in the same class as trying to protect our civil rights. There's a real dangerous place there of pronouncing special class category for civil rights based upon the object of your sexual desire. And I just really want the community to understand that that we're doing this based upon the object of our sexual desire. Therefore, if my sexual desire happens to be children, then what do we do next? If the object of my sexual desire happens to be animals, what do I do next? And these are hard topics to discuss. But what if the object of my desire is objects like a shoe or, you know, some sort of specific food item or something? You know, the next thing you've got is you've got all these protected categories of, well, I'm attracted to this, so that means I must have special consideration.
Yeah, and while I am way more concerned about this on a spiritual level, I am very much concerned about this also from a political standpoint, because of what it means in terms of this slippery slope legislation. If there were to come across a bill that got passed that said, yes, in this arena, those who claim homosexuality get X, Y, and Z benefits. I can already, I mean, I'm not a prophet, but I can tell you what's going to happen. There's going to be a lot of fraud that's going to occur in that, because how are you going to be able to disprove if someone comes up and says to their county judge or whatever, I'm a homosexual, so therefore I get these particular rights.
Right, because
how they're going to disprove it.
The only way to prove it is to determine who you've been having sex with,
yeah,
or who the object of your sexual desire is.
But then that would, but then that would violate other laws of
exactly.
of that court being able to go in and say, tell us who you're having sex with.
Right. Not to mention, it opens up a whole door of the bi-curious, the bi-experimental, mm-hmm. all of those things that are beginning to unfold in the gay community, as anyone can, you know, if I've ever had any attraction to a man or as another man, hey, I must be gay then. So I get this particular specialized class category benefits. And I just think it's important also because it's something that I know the church even struggles with. Is do we accept every gay person and say God loves the homosexual and he made them this way? Or do we continue to speak truth and say, look, this is the situation. You're hurting. You've got sin in your life, just like the rest of us. Let's help you get to a place of recovery rather than caving in on this subject and saying, oh, well, we really believe God must have made people this way and God accepts everyone. Because as we begin to acquiesce, back down, then we're going to have more and more problems and this is just the beginning of, mm-hmm. of that problem.
Yeah, and what I see is that, you know, as the threats mount against evangelical Christian organizations and individuals who continue to speak the truth and say, you know, homosexuality is a sin, the same way that lying, that gossip, that infidelity in marriage, all of those, they're all sin. What my fear is that as this thing escalates in the political arena, that these evangelical Christians and these evangelical ministries will begin to be quiet.
Exactly.
Because they'll say, oh, no, they're going to pull my nonprofit status. Oh, no, they're going to prevent me from actually conducting ministry. And my feeling about all of that is, you know, the Bible tells us that if we as believers, if we all shut up and refuse to praise God, he said even the rocks would cry out.
Amen.
So the way I look at it is if the government wants to come into this little tiny padded room that we do these broadcasts in, and they want to pull the plug on our microphones, and they want to take our laptops, and they want to remove our ability to do these podcasts, my faith is not so small that the truth will actually be silenced by that.
Right.
It will just have to find another avenue. And I don't say that to sound harsh, but I say that because I know there are millions of men and women out there who are literally dying in their homosexual sin.
That's right.
And so my motive for saying that is actually love.
Right.
And there are so many people who are so blinded by their sin that they can only see those statements as hateful.
Right.
And that breaks my heart because as one who has come out of sexual addiction, I want nothing more than to help other people come out of the deception of their addiction. And yet this whole arena of homosexuality, especially as it's gotten totally tangled with the political process, has created so much division among Christians and among churches that it's either, if you call homosexuality a sin, you are a homophobe and a hate monger.
Right.
Or if you accept homosexuality as, hey, no big deal, then, you know, well, for one thing, on the homosexual side, you'll be totally embraced because now you're completely under their control.
Right.
But then you'll get, you know, you'll probably be treated the exact same way as the homosexual by those who are hateful.
Well, and then what you've done is, unfortunately, you've watered down the truth, the freeing truth of Christ that could have led that person to a life of freedom. And I think you're so right. You know, yes, it's a political issue. It's become a political issue. We want to talk about it because it's a political issue. But it also, yes, and God will continue to get the word out in his way if we were shut down. But if only one person gets to hear, wait a minute, maybe what I've always thought about myself isn't true. Maybe there is a God up there that does love me, but loves me more than to just give me what I want. Maybe he really loves me enough to say, you know what, son or daughter, that's not my best for you. And I have a better plan for you. Is it hard for you to get to this place of recovery? Yes. Will it take some work on your part? Yes. But any healing will always take work. And if you just bend to the left and say, well, from here on out, we'll just give this gay community, the gay community, their own civil rights based upon their object of their sexual desire, then have you done any help to them? You may have given them what they want. You may have made them happy for a moment, but haven't you lost the war? Because how many people will burn in hell when God comes in judgment? And I don't mean that as the hellfire brimstone, you know, God's this hateful God, but he is a just God. And if we can save one person to say, hey, look, just think about it. Think about the other option out there. Maybe there is healing for you. Then that's what it's worth. Because at the end, we'll all be standing in judgment for the things that we gave over to people that weren't ours to give, which is freedom, which is our right, which is those aren't ours to give. That's God's right to give.
Well, and I think we need even more voices to rise up in the Christian church that say this is where healing takes place.
Right.
And unfortunately, and this is one of the obstacles that we face in this particular ministry, is there are many churches that just either out of their fear or their ignorance, just are unwilling to go to that place where they say, hey, you know what, within these walls, this is where you find freedom from your sin. This is where you find healing from your abuse, healing from your false thinking. And yet, what our churches have become, in many ways, at least to the outside world looking in, is nothing more than a routine that people who look and act just like they do go every week.
Exactly.
And it's tragic in my mind, because I think, again, there are literally millions of folks who are just ensnared in homosexual sin who are not being given a beacon of hope within the church.
Exactly.
They're being, you know, they say, well, you stay out on the street. Listen, let all the drunks in, you know, let all the folks who struggle with gossip, who do it in this church, of course, let all the, you know, let the embezzlers come in. But, you know, homosexuals, you have to stay out on the street corner. And that's just not right. That's just wrong.
Right. And it's wrong on both sides of that. Not only is it wrong to say you're not allowed in, but it's also wrong to say, oh, we'll give you whatever you want. And we'll let you believe whatever your truth is, whatever your, what does the Bible say, tickling ears want to hear. And yet we won't care about your ultimate eternity, where you'll spend your life in eternity. We'll just give you what you want. And I really hope that falls in convicting ears out there, that people realize if we just give in, then we are jeopardizing that person's eternity. It's one thing to give over something quickly, but it's another thing to lose them for the rest of eternity.
Yeah, and I hope that my prayer is that this broadcast is not coming across in a hellfire and brimstone sort of way, but that it's coming across in a very compassionate manner. Sitting here behind these mics are two men who truly, absolutely love the addict.
Amen.
I mean, and the thing is, we love you so much that we're not going to lie to you. I mean, I think the mark of true love in any relationship is the ability to tell the truth, even when you know it could have negative consequences on yourself.
Amen. And you know what, Jonathan, there are people out there, because I was in this life, and there are people out there who may even be listening right now that I know that are still in that life. And it's not that I just want them to hear what the gay community would want them to hear. It's I want to know that they'll be with me in paradise when this is all over with.
Yeah.
Because this is just a vapor. Eternity is forever. And if we give in now and just say, oh, well, we'll give them what they want to hear, then we've lost them forever, too.
Well, listeners, I hope that you have felt, in a sense, empowered to begin doing something in your own community. Do something in your church. Begin to be, begin to be a voice in your own church for welcoming folks who are struggling with same-sex attraction. If you are a listener and you are enmeshed or immersed in the homosexual lifestyle, please contact our ministry. We want to be able to get you the help you need because there is a way out. You don't have to stay in that lifestyle. We're glad you've listened. I hope that you have realized that we understand this is much more than a political issue. It is an eternal issue. And so we want to be able to help you have a satisfying life here, but even more than that, a totally abundant life that reaches into all of eternity. Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you back here again next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Today's Purity Pointer, making a point that makes a difference. Brought to you by Pure Sex Radio.
Serve others in love. God is in the business of setting captives free in order to serve others. The Bible reminds us, you, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Who could you serve in love today?
Purity Pointer is a service of Pure Sex Radio. Listen to more Purity Pointers at puresexradio.com.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial contributions of listeners like you. Please send your notes and donations to Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. Again, the mailing address is 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. You may also reach us by phone toll-free at 1-800-49-PURITY. Our toll-free number again is 1-800-497-8748. Our website is a great resource for archived broadcasts, helpful resources, and secure donations. Simply visit www.puresexradio.com for more information. That wraps up our time together on this week's Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We look forward to having you back next time when we again tackle real-life struggles with lust, porn, and sex addiction. Until then, remember, the price you pay today for purity is a bargain compared to the pain it costs if you put it off.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries.